Ladies and gentlemen, here we are again on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast times the donut. What's up, donut? How you doing, brother? Happy to have you back on the show. Happy to be in front of your audience because I know and I'm grateful you're going to be posting this one as well right before Thanksgiving here. I'm excited to have you back and get into some of what we're going to talk about today. But before that, what's up?
Yo, what up? It's Donut, and you tuning in to all your Illuminati news with My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. I'm the smoking cheetah. And I don't know if you saw, speaking of cheetah and Cheetos, but congratulations to Kim Kardashian, who is the simulacrum for us to imitate. It's a billboard that's watching us, reality TV, which replaced music, and also Video Killed the Radio Star. John Lennon, who was the radio star, you know, he got whacked and then video came up and now video's gone and it's all social media. But Kim Kardashian, congratulations, man of the year on GQ. And she's eating Cheetos. And I'm the smoking cheetah because I'm part of your Patreon where everyone gets a name.
Right. Well, unfortunately, not everyone gets a name because I don't want to say so many people signed up that I couldn't keep up with it anymore, but a lot of people signed up and I was like, I can't just keep naming everybody. So you're grandfathered in. You're one of the OG My Family Thinks I'm Crazy Patreon supporters and you have one of those names. But I
first mover advantage.
Exactly. And I'm kind of stunned because what you just told me isn't quite processing in my brain, which, you know, people take this for granted now, but I have something called logic and rationale, right? I think you do too, right? That's part of being a human. And I heard you say Kim Kardashian won Man of the Year?
Well, she's on the issue of GQ Men of the Year.
Oh, okay. I thought she won Man of the Year. I was going to say, is this some kind of like role reversal, switcheroo thing? Like,
well, Anton LaVey of the, you know, Satanic Church said that Liv is evil backwards. So he wanted to reverse everything in the scriptures or Bible. So I feel like we are living in some sort of inverted paradigm as a joke. And you even got Megan Thee Stallion and famous Eroused Genitalia song for everyone to listen to, you know, big song. I mean, these people making the Eroused Genitalia music videos for the world to see on the Grammys, trending number one on Google search, that is promoted, is also interviewing people like Biden. So you got these political type agendas with this strange thing. But Stallion is also means a male as well, like a male horse or something too. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
In the simulacrum.
Well, and it definitely feels like reality is bending and they're doing it purposefully. Some could argue that this is a form of alchemy. Would you say so?
Oh, dope. Yeah, that's true. It's like transmuting society, going through this transformation of lead to gold. And I'm not sure if you've seen the three major female artists on tour right now. Taylor Swift, I mean, such a huge show that they even caused an earthquake. I mean, so things are changing on the world from these performances. And if we go back to her humiliation ritual with Kanye stealing the award, but Taylor Swift, even most recently, somebody passed away at her show on the 3-2-2 day, the same day that Elon launched his rocket up right on the 3-2-2 day, and it exploded at the 3-2-2 minute mark as well.
Mark? What?
Yeah.
3-22, brother.
But the alchemy thing is that right, these three stages, the Tria Prima, right, stages of alchemy, the actual stages of Doja Cat, who had the Illuminati eye, Taylor Swift, and Beyonce, the Queen Bee, the Order of the Bees, the Illuminati, all their stages make the Paracelsus, who made the homunculus, tria prima alchemical symbols. So there is some sort of alchemy happening for the masses. Huh. Absolutely.
We got to look that up and show the audience what that looks like. Paracelsus prima trima?
Yeah, tria prima.
Tria prima, okay.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Maybe it's prima trima.
No, no, you're right.
But it's something. It's something no, I'm learning.
You got it right. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. So sulfur, mercury, and salt. Sulfur, the fluid connecting the high and the low. Mercury, the omnipresent spirit of life. And salt, the base matter.
So mercury is silver, and salt is also what? It's like white. It's like silver. And Beyonce and Taylor Swift would be those two elements. They started the show off wearing silver. Now, sulfur isn't silver. Sulfur is connected to the soul, which would be Doja Cat. As this year, they said that she sold her soul during her Illuminati party. According to her, that's what she called it, with Justin Bieber, who also went into the metaverse on November 18th, the 3-2-2 day, and stood on this huge giant cube. And he's always playing with a cube, the Tetris, whatever it's called, that cube thing that...
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube. He's always playing with that as well. And Taylor Swift, she performed on the cube in the show. A lot of strange symbolism happening, for sure. And symbolism is how you can spot out who's who a lot of the times.
Well, and this kind of connects, strangely enough, to Matthew Perry, who, as it connects to my life, my best friend growing up, he's still my best friend, his name's Matt, and he looks like Matthew Perry, so we always just would call him Perry as a joke. And I was like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Your guy passed away, you know? And he kind of laughed, and, you know, he's not the conspiracy theorist, clearly I am. And he was like, yeah, it's really weird, don't you think? And I didn't really look into it at that point. So here's my kind of normie friend telling me, oh, no, look deeper. And I look deeper, and it turns out Doja Cat put out a... what was it, an album or something, where she used Friends, the like title screen, as the basis for the album cover, and that came out literally the same day or week that Matthew Perry passed away.
Right, and it said Demons on it.
Right, it didn't say Friends. Oh my God.
It was the orange couch in front of the fountain.
Yeah.
Big symbolism there. First off, the movie Hocus Pocus took place in front of that fountain. So the Friends fountain in the Hocus Pocus movie, that's the fountain, which is the fontaine for the Knights Templars. Fontaine, who was, you know, prominent figure of the Templars.
Yeah.
There with that symbolism. A lot of strange stuff with that Matthew Perry. He's in the bathtub. Tons of bathtub stuff happening. He's in the tub, the hot tub, right? Hot tub time machine. But he died on 10/28, which is 1/28. And on December 8th, which is 1/28, Julia Roberts will be releasing a new film. And her birthday is 10/28, the same day that Matthew Perry died. And they used the date. So there's this weird 1/28 code. The towers fell down at 10/28, 1/28. The shuttle exploded on one of these dates. I think it was January 28th, which is 1/28. So there's this strange code that I've been looking into on the Patreon. I think there's something there, and we're diving deep into it.
And, you know, I don't know that much about Doja Cat. Sorry for all the Doja experts out there who were rooting for me to know something about her, but, and I don't know much about Matthew Perry, but what I did hear is that there was the whole selling of the soul corresponding with this guy losing his life, whether it was self-inflicted or not, I'm not sure. But he was putting out this symbol, the Batman symbol, the symbols. And he was even calling himself the Mat Man. So what's up with that? Did you look into that at all?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. The amount of followers he had is, you know, Batman grandfather. The lore is that his grandfather created Skull and Bones in episode Fine Finny Fiends. And Batman, he's Mat Man. So you got this 3-2-2 element there. But if you look at Kanye, he got removed off of Instagram with 3-2-2 followers. Mat Man, he had, I think it was 83 followers, and that is in Gematria, known for murder. Like the movie Murder by Numbers, you can see they spell murder by numbers with a 38 in it. So it goes into that symbolism. He was also posting stuff about saving little kids. I'm not going to get too much into that, but that was removed. And I've been looking at it because there was the 69 connection as well. He had 83 posts. That's what it was. But then he was following 69 people. And that's another number I've been studying. Karma, Taylor Swift, the 69 position is karma. But after he died, a follower went away. So someone was in his account and unsubscribed to somebody. There's just so much weird stuff going on with him. He used to bully Trudeau. He went to school with Trudeau. He used to bully him in some sort of humiliation ritual to the point where he became a high-level official in government.
Wow. Now, he's from the same area as Trudeau. They're both Canadians. They're both Toronto people or something like that. Is that it?
Yeah.
Huh. Because at Toronto, I've never been there, but it's the setting of this movie I just watched, Videodrome, which is a disturbing film. I don't recommend people watch it unless they're prepared, but it relates to tons of stuff we look into and research. But real briefly, the main character is like a television executive, and he gets this like pirate signal through a satellite in his company, and one of his employees shows it to him, and it's like this like torture porn type like live stream. And this is, you know, in the 80s this movie came out, so they didn't have the internet, they didn't have live streaming back then, so it's kind of predicting some things, the dark web and whatnot. But throughout this movie that takes place in Toronto, this guy Max Rem, the dude who's trying to figure out where this stuff is happening, and part of him wants to use it for his TV, you know, company, right? He's a television producer, so he's like, oh, we got to find out where they film this. And he's like, it's genius, no plot, and I'm sucked in, I'm captivated. And it was just so strange, because by the end of it, he becomes like this Manchurian candidate who's like killing people and like hallucinating, and he's like under this hypnotic spell, and it totally fits into, you know, the whole MK Ultra Manchurian candidate archetype. But yeah, oddly enough, takes place in Toronto.
And what's the name of that film?
Videodrome, Drome. Drome is like, means like circus, I think.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to check that out. That looks super good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think I might have seen it. Yeah, I think I might have seen it.
It's an old movie. It's 40 years old. It came out in 83, which is kind of symbolic, too, because of the 40 years that have passed and all the things that have changed.
I have seen this.
Yeah, dude, it's a crazy movie.
It's a good movie. It's like the First They Live type movie. I remember this. And like just the word of it, Videodrome, sounds a lot like the A word. I don't know if we can say that.
You can say it on my show. I don't even know what word you're thinking of.
The adrenals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Adrenochrome. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I remember this film. You know, something about the whole broadcasting signal is interesting, that the first huge broadcasting signal across the entire world had the Beatles in it. And it was during their Sgt. Pepper. And think about how that really transformed the world, the Sgt. Peppers. They were asking, what would John Lennon do? What would he say? And he was like, all you need is love, right? That sounds pretty damn positive to me. But we can see that the power, speaking of alchemy and changing society, what a better way to see that than the famous Sgt. Pepper's album. I mean, huge transformation of culture.
As you're saying that, another thing comes to mind. I was recently talking to Chaz of the Dead, who researches UFOs and cryptids and all this really strange stuff. And we were talking about Viktor Grebennikov, who's like a Nikola Tesla type figure from Russia. And he discovered that insect shells, like beetles, the beetles, that their shells are anti-gravity inherently because their body is too heavy for their wings to support. So he was like trying to figure out how do these beetles fly, their body and their wings, you know, the mathematically speaking, this shouldn't work. And he found out that the shell of the beetle shell, the way that the structure of the shell is formed, it's like on a microscopic level, it has this quality to it that allows the beetle to float. And he discovered that you can lace or sew a bunch of these shells together and into a block, and then that block will float. So as the whole world is seeing flying saucers in the sky, who's the most popular band? The Beatles. Like, that just kind of hit me there. And who knows, maybe beetles, insects, maybe they hold the secret to this type of flight, and that's why the ancient Egyptians and these ancient cultures revered, you know, the scarab beetle and these other beetles that have this iridescent quality. It's something about that iridescent quality, like a peacock feather. When you look at a peacock feather, the green and the blue and the purple, they're only there because our eye can see the light refracting off of the brown feather. The whole feather's brown, but our eyes see purple, blue, and green. What if the same thing's going on with these flying saucers where, you know, the same way we should be seeing brown, but we're not, it should be on the ground, but it's not. It's floating, right? There's this some sort of diffraction process going on that allows this to float through the air, whether through light or electromagnetism. But that kind of just struck me right now that, like, as flying saucers were hitting the world, the Beatles were, like, one of the most popular bands in the world. There's got to be some kind of, you know, it can't be a coincidence, right?
Well, I was looking at his Wikipedia, and he was also doing stuff with the bees.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The bees vibrate at the tone of C, I believe, which a lot of these beekeepers live longer because that's like a positive frequency. Hmm. So with the light that we can only see a certain spectrum of it, but also with sounds, with cymatics and tuning frequencies, that the cymatics, when it plays a certain vibration, it changes the sand into beautiful shapes. And the container of a stadium or a chapel or a restaurant or a grocery store or a casino, we're hearing the music, and that is charging the container of the people in it with the symbols surrounding it, and it is changing our mental plane of what we're seeing. Taylor Swift audience, they forget what they saw. They don't remember. They gain amnesia at the shows. I think that's because of the lights, though, just like in the Men in Black
movie.
And that
is something weird that you have with these people. I mean, obviously people go to arenas, music festivals, there's drugs involved, even if it's just alcohol, right? But the fact that people report like what sounds like missing time or just like going into an altered state, it's not alcohol or drugs. It's the arena. It's exactly what you're describing. It's the lights and the sound all combined. And I wonder if the architecture itself, like, like the way the Colosseum built by the Romans had all these people in it and they would watch people fight to the death in the middle. I wonder if it's the same thing going on with sports and you know, big music acts and, I mean, who knows what else. But I think these arenas have esoteric qualities to them for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also, there's been tons of studies of gambling, like the casinos. They keep people trapped in them. They play certain music. The lights, you can't see sunlight in a casino. There's just so much that goes into getting people's money, getting people's time, keeping them staying there longer. There's a lot going on. For sure.
A lot going on. Well, to get back to where we were, I don't know if we got around to mentioning everything about Matthew Perry. Was there anything else left on the table? Did you look into Matthew Perry at all? Like, is there anything you want to add to that?
Sure. So, like, the tub, right? The bathtub, the Doors, Janis Joplin. Something about the bathtub. Brittany Murphy before she died in a bathtub, just like Aaron Carter this year died in a bathtub. They showed a picture of her movie showing her demise of her in a bathtub before it happened. And if you watch the show Stranger Things, Eleven goes into the bathtub or the tub or the pool, goes under the water, just like homeboy John C. Lilly did to communicate with the dolphins. Something about going in the water is part of it to go into another reality, another like gate or another dimension. So him passing away in a hot tub goes into well-known sacrifice stuff.
Yeah, the bathhouses of the ancient world, a lot of weird stuff went down, not just perverted stuff, but apparently that's where the mystery schools would do their thing too, back in the day when there would be like these, you know, basically like underground swimming pools is what they built in Rome. I forget what they're called. There's like a term for it, but they took these, you know, aquifers that were underground and turned them into like swimming pools, bathhouses, and things like that.
So they can have orgies?
Well, yeah, that's the extreme side of it, and maybe also sacrifices and whatnot would qualify as extreme. But yeah, and secret society, you know, rituals and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah,
I would imagine. Well,
the more I'm looking into this stuff, the weirder it gets, where it gets into like these sodomic portals where they're doing all this butt stuff to get into other dimensions, levels of consciousness. And this is like a very, very well-known thing to the alchemist, I believe Kenneth Grant kind of stuff. It's crazy. It's just been looking into it. I had a feeling something like that was happening. But then the more you start reading about it, you're just like, what the heck is going on? And that, you know, that's what we've been doing. People like yourself, me, other researchers, it's just getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's part of like the whole TikTok era, the AI era that we're in now, where things are speeding up, you know, and they're not even, you know, because in the past they needed to rely on employees to put disinformation and propaganda out there. But now they have bots and AI that can spin up algorithms that just regurgitate the same propaganda back to people and serve it up, mix and match it, you know.
The all blot reduction, I'm probably saying it wrong, but everything goes in this order, tic-tac-toe, tick-tock, hip-hop, all the vowels because I've been researching the sacred vows and everything. It's called an all blot reduction. I'm probably saying it wrong, but everything goes from IAO, Netanyahu, or tic-tac-toe, just the way that we speak. It is all this EU, and that's what it was called to the Gnostics, was EU. Even if you look at Abraxas, it will say IAW, which is where this EU is coming from. And they chant this, so there's this vibration, and it reminds me of the chi vibration, right? You got the chi, and I've been having like some like anxiety, and I watched this YouTube video of this Asian dude just saying, say chi, right? And I started doing it, but it like vibrates right where the anxiety is. So there's frequencies with all these different sounds, and our entire language is like based off of this old Gnostic EU kind of saying, which is weird.
The vowels, yeah, they have a power. I have a book on my shelf called The Hidden Mystery of the Magic Vowels or something like that. And it's not, I mean, vowels are universal in a sense. Like, there aren't like different vowels for other languages, you know? Like, every language uses the same vowels and sounds just in different ways, right? So there's like a kind of constant power in the sound of like om, you know, and now people know om as like a meditation thing. But if you think about it, mom, home, like words that relate to the heart and love have that quality just naturally. And it's the same thing with other languages. Like, you see these similarities where, you know, words that have like a sort of heartwarming meaning or loving meaning typically end or have or incorporate that OM noise or that M noise. And it's, I mean, if it's physiology, like it's literally like the spectrum of the sound we can make with our voice box. So we could go like, om. So I went from like open to closed. Do you notice that? How my A was like the widest, the O was kind of like central, and then the M was me closing my mouth, right? That's why that sound is that sound. And, you know, I mean, we can get into the whole Hindu-Buddhist interpretation that Om is like the first sound ever, which, I mean, how would we ever prove that? But they say that that's how it is. Om is the first sound. But I've also heard people say like, oh, no, that's just what we give to Western people. In India, we don't say Om. We say Yom, like they do a different noise, right? So I'm not like the authority on Eastern mysticism, but yeah, I think the vowels have, in English, some really secret meanings that aren't as obvious. Maybe they're more obvious in the Eastern world because there's more of a focus on, like, here's the path to enlightenment. Whereas in the Western mysticism, they've kept it secret, you know. And not to say that there aren't levels of secrecy in Eastern mysticism and secret societies and whatnot, but the Western system seems to be obscured by totalitarians like the church, the old church, you know.
Well, you got the om, like the vibration of it from the belly when you do oh, and it goes to your throat and then closes off, like you said, to the lips. So it's vibrating your entire body. And it's just like these frequencies and vibrations, but it does get hijacked by certain movements, you know, like what's wrong with all you need is love, right? That sounds great.
Well, that's the distinction I think is important to get into. I was thinking like we should talk about this because, you know, mysticism is not sorcery. Sorcery is not mysticism. The two overlap certainly in understandings of certain realities and things, you know, you need a similar understanding to participate in both. But mysticism is something that is inherently loving. It's something that it's an endeavor of growth, and not just personal growth, but you're growing into a role in society to help people take that same path. Whereas sorcery is all about, what can I do for me? What can I do for my group? What can I do for my clan? You know, sorcery is like, it's like, how can I change the world in order to what I want to see happen? Whereas mysticism is like, world, how can you change me in order for me to be a better fit into the world? Or how to navigate the world in a stronger way or better way. I mean, mysticism takes a multitude of forms and from all parts of the world, but that's a big thing that I like, the word occult, you know, like everybody wants to be like an occult decipherer and like figure out all the clues and codes. And I'm totally down. I'm in that myself. I love trying to figure out what's really going on, but I think people lose sight of the fact that there's an inherently mystical quality that you're participating in when you do that. So even though you're like, oh, I'm not on the side of the dark forces, I'm against them, I'm exposing them, right? That's something we do in this podcast community. There's a mystical quality to that, because you're able to see through the veil. You're able to see past the exoteric and into the esoteric, and that's a skill. That's a skill that these sorcerers utilize when they create these codes and these spells to keep people stupefied and under their will. So you're kind of, you know, in a mystical way, fighting against that by participating in this kind of mysticism, de-occulting things. But the danger is when you assimilate your life in a way that loses sight of that growth, because when you go into full-blown research mode, and this is something I've noticed with the UFO research community, not, you know, anybody I know directly, but like, you read about these guys, and a lot of them, their lives end in really suspicious and weird ways. And that could be the government, that could be these cults and secret societies who want to keep this shit secret. But it seems like these guys, the reason why this happens is because they come into it from a more scientific perspective some of the time, where they're like trying to find evidence for these UFOs and trying to prove the reality. And they're full-blown believers. They're not like skeptics, but they don't have like a spiritual anchor. They don't have like a faith in Christ or like a faith in Muhammad or a faith in Buddha that, you know, keeps them solid to their path. And I'm not trying to preach religion here, but I think mysticism is inherently under that umbrella that the Creator, you know, it's kind of fringe, but it's something that the Creator gave to us, not so we can abuse others, but so we can elevate ourselves and elevate each other, you know. And that's why it's become taboo, because we have these totalitarian systems that are trying to control people. I mean, look at the federal government, look at the Roman Empire, look at any empire, right? Like, they are inherently anti-creator, anti-spiritual. So they try to, you know, throw shade on the mystic path, because they know figures like Christ break the mold and then jeopardize the control they have over the people. I mean, Jesus, what he did was so powerful, 2,000 years later, people are still talking about him every day, you know? So again, I'm not sitting here trying to preach to anybody, but I think in the conspiracy occult realm, we need to be more open to mysticism, because Christ was a mystic. And I know a lot of people who de-occult things, they do it because they're Christians and they love the Bible and they want to see the world become a better place. Or, you know, whatever religion they are. I mean, conservative or not. So yeah, that's kind of my little rant there, Donut. Thanks for letting me thanks for entertaining that. I know you're the guest, so I should shut up now.
Oh, well, no, I liked what you're saying. Me and my friend, we've been having some conversations about the mystic himself and how they love beauty. That's like what is like what they like is the beauty. And I liked everything that you're saying. And it's been a strange world because I like Jordan Maxwell, and he would say a cult simply means the hidden, right? But when you hear a cult, when I first ever said that, I was like, I thought a cult meant evil, right? And then it's like, oh, it just means hidden. Like there's occult muscles or whatever. So they're hidden muscles. Like it's just a word. And then the etymology of things, looking into what, where is this all coming from? So I've been on this decoding kind of stuff, looking at all the different symbols before I had a YouTube channel. I'm just the listener of all these great people. And then I start making my own videos, and I was already had a solid foundation in with God of my own understanding through my recovery 12 steps process stuff, you know? So I have my own concept, and I've been dabbling into all these different religions and be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'm just taking what works for me. So I learned a lot about like different religions from my recovery journey and what they actually practiced, especially with Christianity or with Jesus and the way that Jesus lived his life. And I really vibed with it. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And then if you live the way that Jesus lived, your life will change. And I was just like, okay, an open-minded Jewish guy, like, that's like rebellious doing that, you know, like, and then I'm like, my life did get better. And then, so when I was doing all my videos, I already had this like understanding of forgiveness, keeping my side of the street clean. I already had my foundation. And then I go up on here onto the internet, and then there's all these religious communities. And they're Satanists. They say that they're religious, but everything they're doing from my research is what Satan would be doing. It's all for themselves. Like everything is just like you're saying, the pharmakia, the sorcery, it'd be more for yourself in a sense.
Oh yeah.
And I've noticed that a lot of these religious people, they are satanic. They're virtual signaling on my channel, telling me how to live life or whatever. And I'm like, now understanding psychology, that the virtual signaling is one of the biggest signs of psychopathy too. Well, so, I mean, it's crazy.
It's really brilliant what you just said there about virtual signaling, because, and again, no shade on anybody who believes in their whatever religion, but you're making a really good point. Like, the structures of the church are ultimately, inherently, a lot of times, self-focused in that way, where it has a satanic aspect to it, but it's deeper than that, because that's just the surface level, that's just the humdrum. There are real evil forces. Like America, people take for granted that America is this Christian nation. We all celebrate Christmas. We all, you know, celebrate Easter and yada, yada. Not at all. America's been a melting pot of religion since the beginning. You got Protestants, Catholics, Jews. You got all the natives. You got all the slaves, you know, that came over and all the religions they brought. So all of these melted together. And I was just talking to a woman who escaped a Mormon cult, and you know, she was basically revealing that there's satanic elements at the highest branches of that church, like up into like the leadership. There are dark forces, and what you said about the occult just meaning hidden, well, so does darkness, right? Like when I turn on the lights in my apartment, I'm not like, oh, the evil's gone, you know. But that doesn't mean that I don't hear the word dark and know that dark also has other meanings, right? So there is an occult that is evil, but not all occult is evil, because it's the same as the darkness. Like, you go out at night and you look at the stars, that's not evil. You know, that's a beautiful thing that humans are meant to do, is to look up at the night sky. Now, if a creature of the night, say, you know, a wolf or something that hunts at night, comes and grabs you and pulls you away, that's not good. You know, that's a symptom of the darkness, right? That can happen in the dark. There are scary things that go bump in the night, as they say, right? So I think the same is true with the occult, where these religions, these churches, they want us to think the whole thing's bad, don't look into it at all, because then we don't figure out what they're doing. Then we don't figure out their sorcery if we don't know anything. We start learning about mysticism, we also learn about the bad side of mysticism, and then we're able to identify it, and then we're able to fight against it. It's like if guns were invisible and nobody knew that they existed and only some people had them, you know, and then they said, oh, no, that's not a gunshot. That's a bird. There's a new bird, you know, and he makes a really loud, you know. But every time this bird chirps, people die, you know. Crazy, stupid analogy there. But I think something is going on with that, where the occult is like this invisible reality that affects us. But because so many people are ignorant of it, we're not able to correctly react to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely it's a weird journey. Not like knowing about, because most of the world doesn't know what we're talking about. Like our niche society knows us, and we look into it. But most of the world has no idea that there's these secret elements and huge orders that are controlling the world and stuff like that. They might hear Illuminati and they think that it's like some spooky thing or some fake thing, but not knowing the true history that all this stuff is actually real, that George Washington was writing letters about it. Like it's such a niche.
Well,
thing.
And I think people think, you know, America's this new place and everything's all so new and it's only been going on for a couple hundred years. So it's too good to be true that they could set it all up this easily, and that every celebrity and every corporation and every government official could, you know, fall in line like this and create this kind of situation. And I'm not saying it's as complex as that, but I'm saying that they've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to work this out. And your cat is making a great point right now. I get punctuating my point. I don't know. I guess she's rooting for me, or he's rooting for me. But I think the average person has no concept of how long these types of experiments have been going on. And like the idea of like celebrities doing dark occult rituals, like this is something that it goes back to what it means to be a celebrity. Like the first celebrities were people who were mystics and holy people and people that could do, you know, sorcery and spells and things like that. Like Nostradamus and, you know, these saints that would perform amazing things. Like these were the first celebrities, you know. People would go to these, you know, holy places and give everything they had for like a piece of the saint's clothes or a piece of their skin or something they touched. I mean,
or seances too. Those were huge,
right?
Especially in like, what, not that long ago, World War II, seances were like so huge. People would go and do that.
Well, and sometimes, so some people think that some companies have seances to figure out what to do next week or next month with their company. Like, you know, these kind of occult weird things are actually affecting, you know, concrete reality.
Yeah, and like the new Argentinian president.
Yeah, let's get into him. Did you break down any symbols? What do you think of his hair?
Well, I've been watching him for a while because he's been very pumped up all year, going on Tucker Carlson and all that, and how he was a sex tantric teacher.
Everybody, you and Juan do the same thing. It's not sex tantric. It's tantric sex. The tantric comes first. I don't know why you and Juan both say it that way, but.
Teach us your ways. Teach us your ways. So it's tantric sex.
Yes. Yes. Not that I know anything about tantric sex. I just know how to pronounce it.
What do you know about it, though? You know the order it goes in.
I just know how to pronounce it. I swear.
I know you got a book on it. I got a book on it.
I do. Actually, I do have a book that mentions it, and it's funny. I didn't know.
This is the tantric sex, but this one's called The Taoist Secrets of Love, Cultivating Male Sexual Energy.
Oh, ladies, look out.
I've never read it. I've never read it.
You want the secrets of love. Now you know who to find.
I want to read it, but it's like I have to do these exercises.
Who's it written by? A real person or a channel?
Yeah, the guy's cool. Montauk Chia.
Yeah, that sounds like a real name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, is it Michael Wynn channeling Montauk Chia, or is it actually a person named Montauk Chia?
Good question. I don't know.
Because it does say Montauk Chia, a.k.a. Michael Wynn.
I don't know, but like he's done interviews like on London Real. And it was pretty cool.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm not going to judge anyone, especially, you know, the whole judge a book by its cover. So
you got a book on it?
I got a book on it, and I did interview a guy who practices Kundalini yoga, and he writes about tantric sex in his book. But he's like an old guy, and I didn't really feel comfortable bringing that up with him. I don't know. That's kind of a weird thing to say, I guess. It's my podcast. I should be able to talk about whatever I want. But I haven't had like a person on to talk about that. But there is a guest that I've seen doing the rounds who talks about sex magic. And his name's Alan Greenfield. And he also writes about UFOs. So I thought that was kind of a funny pairing of interests. Like, yeah, I write about sex magic and I also write about UFOs. I wonder how those overlap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the millions, they be probing, right?
Well,
so they definitely doing something.
Well, what do you think about that? Because I just spoke with a guest who was a part of a alien human hybrid program where they used her, you know, eggs against her will to create alien-human hybrid?
Oh, as much as, you know, I grew up with Alien Workshop t-shirts, I really loved aliens, drew aliens, all this. I'm the biggest alien fan there is, but I think it's all a psyop.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. So, Lom looks just like the egghead, the alien. I'm like a big alien fan. Since a little kid, I got little chains, all that. Biggest fan. But I think it's all a psyop. Bring in the new religion. I've seen UFOs, though. I've seen that. But I think that the narrative being pushed by the big podcasters to get people on the ayahuasca, like Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Disney characters. You got – and I'm not saying that there's not a reason for stuff like that, but I think what's happening is that they're pushing into this Aquarian type age to get rid of religion and set up a new religion, and that's going to be based off of the alien stuff, but to get rid of thousands of years of imprinting, the erase that is through the autonomic nervous system. And these drugs help out with those resets to believe something totally new. And that's what I think it is. I think it's a religion, a new religion being set up.
I agree.
I think I've been psyoped. I've been psyoped. That's what I think.
With aliens?
Yeah.
Well, on the point of ayahuasca, it definitely feels like a cult, and that's not anything against ayahuasca, the plant, or the combination of plants, but people will take something and abuse it, you know, whether it's a plant, a fruit, an animal, a human, right? We abuse things. And from what my understanding is with shamanism is like, yeah, maybe ayahuasca is only meant for certain people. It's not something that everybody, especially all of society, you know, because it's traumatic. It's something that's like, you know, life-changing. And I think you're absolutely onto something with them trying to like rewrite the autonomic nerve and kind of like reprogram humans on a very primal genetic level, maybe through consciousness or subconsciousness, because time after time, governments have tried to control people and they've failed. So maybe now they're just trying to reprogram people so that that we're more controllable, and they figured out that they could use these shamanic drugs to transform the whole world in mass instead of one at a time. Because that's what these drugs do, is transform people.
So I got this feeling that Bigfoot has been hanging out around me lately. Like, really? I feel like I see him, like in the house, like in the apartment.
Thank you for being here. I hope you're subscribed on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy YouTube channel. If you want to hear the rest of this episode where Donut tells me all about his Bigfoot encounter, and we go deep into so much more, including Donut's predictions for 2024, you don't want to miss that, folks. And it's only available on the Rockfin or on our Patreon or Substack. So go to MyFamilyThinksI'mCrazy.com today. Sign up on the Patreon to see the entire episode. Thank you so much for being here, and immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.